All right, this morning we're going to do a parishioner's pick. We'll be doing several of these as we wrap up the summer. This is an opportunity for people of the congregation to give me a scripture and say, hey, we need to hear a word on this. And so I want to thank everyone for your submissions. I think I have enough for the rest of the summer, or at least the few weeks that I'll be doing this. If you still want to submit one, I'll put it in my file there and maybe get around to it the next time we do another round of parishioners' picks. I always enjoy this. I always enjoy hearing what people want to be preached on and just some concerns that people have, or just getting input from the congregation. So thank you very much. Today it's Exodus 20 and verse 7, one of the Ten Commandments. It is the third commandment, and I have three different translations up here for you. Let me read those to you. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. From New Century Version, you must not use the name of the Lord your God thoughtlessly. The Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. And the English Standard Version, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then along with the submission, the person who submitted this passage included some of these comments. I chose this passage because it grieves me to hear God's name tossed about so flippantly. Many people, certainly non-Christians, think nothing of saying, "Oh my God," at the drop of a hat. It seems we have lost a reverence for God's name. I think that just as he is holy, so is his name. I feel it's wrong to use his name so casually. And honestly, I have to agree. I mean, who can disagree with that? How many times do you hear the name of God or the name of Jesus just used in a scenario which is not appropriate, not in worship, not in praise, it's not in the teaching situation? And over the last couple of weeks, especially as I've been looking forward to today and presenting this commandment to you, man, I've become even more aware of how often God's name is used thoughtlessly. So today I want to talk about that. Also today we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to talk quite as long as I normally talk. After I'm done talking, we're going to just remind ourselves through scripture and song of how holy the name of God is, how holy God is. And I'll introduce that time here after I say a few things. So let me share with you some thoughts regarding this third commandment. And I want to do that by sharing three different stories that came to mind. Story number one. Henry Ann and my wife, we met on a blind date back many, many years ago. We had common acquaintances, and so they set us up together. We had dinner at my apartment, and so the four of us were together, had some small talk, got to know each other a little bit. And so, you know, I'm wanting to impress Henry Ann. And so I'm a baseball card collector, not quite as fervently as I was back in those days. This was 1988, 89. And so to impress Henry Ann, I thought I'd get out my baseball cards. Yes. It's amazing we're married, isn't it? Yeah. And so if you're a collector of anything, or if you're a baseball card collector, you take that pretty seriously. And those cards you protect. And so I had my more valuable cards. I say valuable, it's all relative, isn't it? They're really not worth as much as I'd hope they would be worth. But if you want to buy a big collection of baseball cards, I'll take an offer. There you go. But I had them all in binders. And then in those binders are these plastic sheets with individual little compartments that you put each baseball card in that keeps them in mint condition, keeps them from being touched by people. And so I was flipping through those baseball cards, and Henry Ann feigned interest in those baseball cards. But then she started to point at one of the cards, and it looked as if to me that she was going to take one of those cards out of that protective sleeve. And I said to her, "Do not touch my baseball cards." See, those cards were not for ordinary use. Those cards were not for ordinary hands. They were sacred. They were holy. God's name is sacred. God's name is holy. The name of God represents Him. It represents His essence. It's the great I am. I am who I am. We should not take out the name of God for non-sacred purposes. I would say for prayer, for praise, for instruction. Those are appropriate times to use the name of God, but you just don't slide it out at any time. And I think this at least applies to the name of God, but I would include that that name also applies to the name of Jesus, our Savior, God in the flesh. It's not to be used as an exclamation. It's not to be used as an adverb or a verb. It is too sacred for that. So when the name of God or Jesus comes from the lips of a believer, it should be in all reverence. Here the question is also bantered about, what about abbreviations? OMG, we use that in social media and text and things of that nature. Sometimes we have euphemisms, gosh, geez, golly. To some degree, I think that's a matter of conscience, but I would suggest that nothing, no communication that comes from our lips or our fingers or however we communicate to people, that no communication that could possibly be construed as a lack of respect for God should be used. When Jesus taught us how to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, sacred be your name." It's interesting that there's a penalty, there's a warning associated with the third commandment. Be careful when you take the name of God out. Since the name of God is used many times in not sacred manners, and you probably work, live, go to school with people, I would even challenge you that this may be an opportunity for you to share your reverence for the name of God by having a conversation with people that do not revere the name of God. Now, I'm not talking about just walking up to people that you don't know and correcting their language, but perhaps someone that you have a relationship with that is in the habit of using God's name in vain. Perhaps it's an opportunity for you to express to them, you know, "My God, I revere Him so much. He is so holy and He's so sacred." When you use the name of God, when you use the name of Jesus in that way, it is hurtful for me, and that may be a way. I pray that you can have wisdom as you navigate those conversations. All right, so that's the very least this command means. Don't use God's name as a curse word, but I think there's so much more to honoring the name of God than just not taking His name in vain as we speak. So story number two, and this is an experience that most of you parents have probably had. When it comes to naming a child, when you find out that you're expecting a child or adopting a child, however you've come to have a child, you start discussing names for that child. And it's always interesting, a husband and a wife, they're discussing names, and sure enough, almost inevitably, one of you will say a name that will cause the other to grimace. Have you had that explanation? "Well, how about the name Todd?" And they go, "Oh, Todd, I don't want Todd." It's because they have some negative connotation with that person. And so they don't want their child to be named that because, for whatever reason, they have these negative feelings about that child. "I knew someone with that name, and they were the most intolerable person I've ever met." You see, people's behavior can make a name bad. It can make a name unpleasant. It can make it even repulsive. If you're a believer, if you're a follower, if you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, you have taken the name of God. You have taken the name of Jesus Christ upon yourself. And that's one reason why I put the ESV translation, the English Standard Version. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That it's two Hebrew words. One means to hold up or to lift up, and then to lift it up worthlessly or thoughtlessly, even destructively, it could be translated. And so we all need to recognize that as Christians, we are giving other people an impression of who God is. Is he loving? Is he merciful? Is he sacred? Is he wise? Is he all-loving? Is he all-powerful? Or is he not those things? And so you represent God, and your behavior represents God. And when you don't represent God well, if you've taken up that name, you are actually taking that name thoughtlessly or in vain because you're giving God a bad name. So when people see you and see that you're a God follower, what do they think of God? Do you represent grace, love, and mercy? You know, and this thought, this whole thought of the third commandment, keeping the name of God holy and representing him well, is carried out throughout the entire Old Testament and even to the New Testament. Let me read you a couple of passages that reinforce this idea that you carry the name of God, you carry the name of Christ, and you represent him. And how you represent him is going to give other people an idea or thought of who God is. This is Amos, one of the Old Testament prophets. He says, this is what the Lord says, for three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. And he lists some of the sins of Israel. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. Profane means to make common. Make it just ordinary. That's what profane means. And so the prophet says, the way you're living, the way that you're behaving, the way that you carry yourself, you are taking the name of God, since you bear the name of God as the people of God, and you're making it just ordinary. You're profaning the name of God. Listen to what Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Again, Paul, Romans chapter 2 and verse 24. Quoting from the Old Testament, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So as we look at this third commandment, and really, for me, it's not so difficult to control the words that come out of my mouth in regard to using the name of the Lord, my God, in vain. But this hits more at home for me. Am I really serious about representing God? Am I really allowing my behavior to give people a good reaction and not a grimace? When people associate me and God, me and Jesus, what reaction do they have? Story number three, looking from a more positive angle. How do we honor the name of God? How do we make it sacred? How do we make it holy? Grew up playing Little League Baseball. Loved playing baseball, you know that. After I couldn't play baseball, I collected baseball cards, right? Watched baseball. Preseason, it was fun, you know, we were always waiting for the games to start, but we'd get the team together, the coach would evaluate the talent, who's going to play where, et cetera, et cetera. And so we'd have all those preseason practices, and that was good. But one of the highlights of playing Little League Baseball was when the uniforms came in. I still have this image, I still have this vision of the coach carrying out the box. And back in my day... we just had these t-shirts that we pulled over, but it had the name of the team, and then we had the cap that we put on, and that was one of the most exciting days, wasn't it? Being able to represent someone and wearing that uniform, I was honored to be part of the team, and you wanted to do well, you wanted to represent the team well. Well, we honor the name of God with our lives. We bring glory to the name as we serve and as we love, as we tell the story to other people, as the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in our lives. Again, hear these scriptures, 2 Thessalonians 1. With this in mind, Paul says, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. I really pray, Paul says, that all the good things that you want to be, that you're able to live those out. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, man, I want this church to be a light on this hill, and I want people to see you and the way that you love one another, the way that you serve, and I want that to glorify God. I want that to lift up the name of Jesus Christ to the level that it deserves to be lifted up. Acts chapter 22. This is Paul retelling his story of conversion. You know the story of Paul. He was struck blind. He was a persecutor of the church on the road to Damascus. He has this encounter with Jesus Christ. He's instructed to go to the household of a believer, a man named Ananias. And so he's recounting this. He does this a few times in the book of Acts as he talks to others about this dramatic change that's taken place in his life, from persecutor of the church to a great witness of Jesus Christ. And so this is one of those times. Then he said, he's recounting what Ananias was saying to Paul. Then he, Ananias, said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you, Paul, to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now that you are, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." What are you waiting for? He says, start this journey of witnessing to other people this privilege that you have experienced, this dramatic conversion that you have encountered. So as we call on the name of Jesus Christ, we become his witnesses. We start telling people. And that's one thing. I loved wearing that hat. I'd wear that hat everywhere. Wanted everyone to know that I played Little League baseball. And that's what we do. That's how we honor the name. We let everyone know that we belong to Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 22. "For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself." So let's let our lights shine so God can be glorified. You know, at the heart of this command, and really the heart of the first three commands, "You shall have no other gods before me, you shall make no other images on heaven, earth, or below, I'm sacred, I'm holy, nothing can represent me," and then this third command is to not take the name of the Lord in vain. At the heart of those commands, at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, it's a recognition of God's holiness, that he's unique, that he's different, that he's sacred. And there's sometimes that we may make God too much like us. I know Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and that's beautiful. We need to embrace that. We need to teach that. We need to recognize that. We need to find comfort and strength in that God became a human being, but we also cannot lose the holiness and the sacredness of God, because once we know that, once we embrace that, once we grasp that, once we have that truth living in us, then we will never even think. It'll be unthinkable to use the name of God outside of praise or prayer or instruction. And so sometimes I think we make him too human, maybe even in our worship services. So today, Basil and I have gotten together, and I said, "Basil, one thing I want us to do as we look at this third command, I want us just to spend some time in Scripture and in song, just for us to meditate on the holiness and the sacredness of our God, how he is so much greater than we are, how he is so holy." So I invite you, as we get into this part of our service, just to really let your mind and your heart just be captivated by how wonderful and how beautiful and how holy God is as we worship him in these scriptures and these songs. I'll turn it over to Basil at this time.
"Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer. And God said, Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders? Let's stand together and sing Holy Ground.
This is holy ground, we're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground, we're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is, his holy. We are standing on holy ground. All around, let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. You are God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. You are holy God, a perfect holy God, we will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence. We are standing in his presence. We are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Be seated, please.